shall now read to you from God's holy word, the prophet Isaiah, the 31st chapter, and we commence at verse 13. Isaiah 33, first the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Isaiah 33. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites, who among us shall dwell with devouring fire, who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate there. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see the fierce people, the people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stumbling tongue that thou canst not understand. Them. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But their glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. The tacklings are loose. They could not well strengthen the mast, they could not spread a sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you, voor ons, God de Vader. En Christ Jesus, our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, let it not be evil in thy holy sight that sinful creatures, worms of the dust, nothing in ourselves, but only condemnable. Oh, that we come in this evening unto thee, with all our needs and with all our wants, and give us through thy Holy Spirit and free access to the throne of grace in that new and living way that is opened in Christ and in his precious blood, because we have blocked up everything, and outside there is no way, there is no hope, there is no expectation. But the only hope that there is, that is in Christ, in the Son of thy eternal love, who was from all eternity in the bosom of his Father, and who is all and in all for those who are nothing in himself. Lord, in the way of thy divine providence, thy hand brought us together for the third time in this Sabbath day in this house of worship. We are not worthy, the least of thy blessings, but that it may please thee, Lord, in this evening to open thy word, but also to make our hearts receptive for that word that shall come unto us, that it finds graciously an entrance into our soul, and that it be blessed and be sanctified, breaking the stronghold of the devil in us and around about us, erecting thy kingdom amongst us, and that many, many were called out of darkness to that marvelous light, that they bow before thee and were made willing in the day of thy power to leave this world and to break with sin and to come on their knees with prayer and supplication, God be merciful to me a sinner. Lord, let the preaching and the reading and catechizing not always be in vain, but that it be blessed and be sanctified for many, many souls amongst. Time is short, and soon we have to appear before that great judge, whose eyes are as a flame fire. And what shall it be, Lord, to stand there as an enemy, and to stand there as one that his whole life had said no, no, no desire in the knowledge of thy ways, and then to be cast in that fire that never shall be quenched. All that the seriousness was laid upon our hearts in this evening, and that the preaching of thy word may be sanctified for many souls. Give also an opening for thy children, Lord, give us light in the soul, faith in the heart, and exercising of it, and that it was brought to a solution for their own soul, and that they receive peace with the Lord, that peace that passes all understanding, that thy name be honored and glorified, and that our soul may gain thereby. Strengthen thy servants in all the churches, for so far that they are called by thee. Anoint them, increase the number, Lord, and send forth laborers in thy harvest. Help also us for the third time, bodily and spiritually. Thy hand has upholded us for so many years already. Oh, that small part and time that is given to us. Lord, draw not thy hand from us, and thy spirit withhold not from us. But also in this evening, give us of some edifying words to speak in the congregation, and that our soul may receive some provision on our traveling to eternity. Give prayer and supplications for one another, for our families, for our personal life, for the country, for our boys, in the service in Vietnam, in Korea. Oh Lord, the needs are so great and many, and we don't know in what danger that they are even at the present time. But oh Lord, strengthen them and spare their life graciously, and that all those trials be sanctified to their hearts. Remember the widows, orphans and widowers, and all those that in bereavement and sorrow also amongst us. Lord, supply the manifold needs and wants in the daily life, and we be with all them that are in hospitals and institutions. Thou knowest the needs and the wants and the conditions, as we see that before our eyes every week almost. Oh Lord, remember in mercy and in compassion those that rule over us without the fear of thy name and no respect for thy word. But, oh Lord, bring us as well we never can bring ourselves, and also that people too, that they ask for the Lord to give psalms in the night. Remember all of us in mercy, and that the outgoing of this Sabbath day, that it was to the honor of thy name and to our soul's eternal welfare, with the pardoning of all our iniquities, and that the light of thy countenance may shine upon us. For Christ's sake only, amen. Number 416. And we start with verse 3 and 5. 416, 3 and 5. The collection will be for the church and for our school. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquiet in me? Hope in God thy faith retrieving, and let him still thy refuge be. Number 416, the stanzas 3 and 5.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, we have read to you out of the prophet Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, that the Lord has promised his people that their eyes shall see the King in his beauty. And it is well remarkable, and we have to observe it, that that text that speaks unlimited about the King, no name is mentioned here. And you know, in the Old Testament, also in the times of the prophet Isaiah, there were so many different kings. Kings in Judah and kings in Israel and kings outside of the country who had a great name in those times. But of course, we have not to ask who is mentioned here in that text. We all know without any doubt that that text speaks about Christ. In Isaiah 32, as well in Psalm 45, verse 2, there you have the same thing. Then you read there about the King, and that is also in our text, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And of course, in accordance to Psalm 89, verse 7, there is no one to be compared with him. In heaven and on earth. Because that King that is mentioned here in this text, he is the eternal Son of God, co-essential and co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. And there is mentioned here in this text only the name King, and that is because in the second place that the hearts of all God's people, and that is filled with desire to see that King in his beauty. Why? Because he had taken in their heart, and they have experienced what you find in Psalm 110, my people shall be unwilling people in the day of God's power. And as soon as it has pleased the Lord to work and to enter into their hearts, then they have received a wonderful love for him that was not there before, no. than it was only world, and it was nothing else than world. But now it is different. Their heart is now filled with love towards him, and it is the daily prayer, as you find that mentioned in Psalm 106, remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. And of course, that are signs of spiritual life. Their heart goes out to him, and they need him. Shall it be well to live in comfort and to die in peace? For this evening, I will speak to you out of the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, verse 21 and 22. John 12, verse 21 and 22. The same. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. This was. There are two things that I will consider with you in this evening. And that are only two things. And very simple, that even our children, they can well follow. I hope so. I will talk to you this evening in the first place about the subjects, and that were the Greeks. And then in the second place, the request, that they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. The Lord's ways, congregation, are wonderful, because at the same time that Jewish Sanhedrin was after Christ to kill him, then that same time that request from the Greeks that came to Philip. Now, of course, I have in this evening, first of all, to consider with you something about those Greeks. First of all, what is our idea about that people? And of course, not what is my opinion of your opinion, but I will an opinion about the people that is based on the Word of God. What kind of people were the Greeks? know, we read in the Bible about the galleons, that province where most of the disciples of Christ came from. And those Galileans were very ignorant. It seems that their people had very little of no education. In the whole country of Palestine and Canaan, they thought not so much about those Galileans. They spoke most of the time of them, but despising them. But of course that was with the Greeks, was that much different. And if you ask me this evening, how do you prove that now with the Bible? That they were so much different as the Galileans, then I refer you to a text that we find in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. And in that text, you read there that Paul said, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Those people was very educated. And well learned. Because the wisdom of the Greeks was very known to the people in the time that Christ was living here on earth. But of course now there is nog een second question. What do you know about those Greeks more based on the word of God? And then I refer you to the Acts of the Apostles. The 21st chapter, verse 28. And then of course we read there about the Apostle Paul, that he came to Jerusalem. And of course where that man came, there's always trouble. Because the whole world, and especially the religious world, they hated that man. They spoke about him as a pest. Dus then you can well realize what they thought about that man. But of course that was pure enmity against that man. And you can well realize that you have a minister that takes all the ground under the feet of the people. The false ground. Then it cannot be different if they hate you. That was with Paul the same thing. And then of course that man that was not one day sure of his life. Also when he came back in Jerusalem. And then they were looking after him. And then they said to the people, to the public, men of Israel, help. This is the man, namely the Paul, that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further, now it comes, and further brought Greeks also in the temple and has polluted this holy place. Thus it was some kind of people, there was no place for in the temple. No. That was people that was standing outside. Outside. And of course you can realize that is not so easy. No. But now there were certain Greeks, not the whole nation, no, not a part of the nation, but that text that said here, certain Greeks, and those certain Greeks that came up to worship at the feast. But there were those Greeks, they were, of course, they belonged to the proselytes. And you know, there were at that time two kind of proselytes in Israel. They have proselytes of the gates and proselytes of righteousness. The proselytes of righteousness that were Jews, original Jews. But for a while, for a certain time, they have separated from the church. And later on, they came back. But now, the proselytes of the gates were that kind of people that came from outside. They were never circumcised. And they were called the proselytes of the gates. They could not come farther than the gates of the temple. They have no opportunity and no freedom to come in the temple. But still they came to Jerusalem because they have accepted and they have joined with the Jewish religion. They have left their original religion as wrong, and they have accepted the religion of the Jews, and they believed that that was the right religion. That was also in that time, as long as they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Because then, from that time on, the religion that became false. And now certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at a feast. In the way of God's providence, they came in Jerusalem. And then of course at that same time that they came in Jerusalem, then it was in that city, oh, so busy. It was, I would say, extraordinary, the condition in that city. It was much different than that it was, otherwise. Because what has taken place? The Lord Jesus, he had he brought Lazarus out of the grave. And there was a great rumor there in that city about Christ. It was for the Pharisees and scribes. It was awful because they said, the whole world is behind him. That was something. So a deep impression had made that wonder that the Lord had done to Lazarus. And then, of course, you read also in that same chapter that Christ had entered into Jerusalem, that they took the branches from the trees, that they lay them on the roads, on the streets. They also undressed themselves. They took the robes and their mantles and they lay it on the street. And Christ came there sitting upon an ass, so in the city, and the people were so optimistic and astonished and glad with that Christ that they thought now it is the time that we shall bring him in the city to anoint him as a king. That was the reason that they cried there so loud, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Of course, they have no insight in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought that Christ came to deliver him from the Roman emperor, to sit upon the throne, and to be king, an earthly and a worldly king. And of course, the people that was very emotional, that is still the Jewish people. If you come in Chicago, in some places where the people have the stores, and you have to walk there, sometimes you are really all the time astonished upon the emotional people. They talk to you even that they have known you for years. But of course there is always something behind it. They will sell something to you. And then of course later on when you come home then you say I am deceived. But of course that is a character. And we shall not be a bit, we shall not say so much about it. No. But emotional, that is all. That you can realize what it was in that city, in that time, that rumor was in Jerusalem, what Christ had done there. And that came in the ears of those Greeks too. Some Greeks. Certain Greeks. Yeah. This evening, I am not able, on account of the time, to answer all the questions. But I will do some as far as time permitted me. Of course, the question that is in the first place, what we have to think about the people. There are several opinions about them, of course. When you search the explainers of the Bible, zowel the old as the new ones, then you shall well find out what in different thoughts are about the people, because some they say it was only curiosity. They have only desire to see Christ as a wonderful man. But there is other there are other opinions about them, that those Greeks, those certain Greeks, were really seeking people. And that they have in their heart a real desire after the Lord Jesus Christ. I will explain only one thing now, well, a little too early, but to take away some objections that are rising against it, because that people that thinks that it was only curiosity and nothing else, desire to know something, that people that said as a reason, Christ gave no answer to them immediately. And if it was coming up out of a really desiring heart, then the Lord, he had answered them immediately. But of course, we have enough to defend ourselves in that respect. In the first place, those Greeks, they have a request, and that request that was, sir, we would see Jesus. A very simple request. But of course, now they came with that request, not directly to Christ. They made that request known to Philip, to one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that Philip, he brought not immediately that request over to Christ, but then first of all, he talked about that request to Andrew. We would say, not right. That took too long. In the first place, the question, why did they came first to Philip? And then in the second place, why must that Philip now talk about it to Andrew? That was a loss of time. Or not? Or can you find another explanation? More favorable? I would say yes. Personally, I have a little feeling for that people. For that people that have no place in the temple. But that they're standing outside. And still that they made the trip to Jerusalem, after that the Lord has commanded the people 3 times a year to come to that city with Passover, with Pentecost, and with the Feast of the Tabernacles. Do you believe that all the people that came to Jerusalem at those feasts, that they were all converted? No. No. But still, how that they did it, they came there. Even that it was outwardly, then you have to respect it. That is at the present day the same time with the ordinance of the Lord. People that think so little about the Lord's ordinances, just as for Mary said, we have not to think so much about it. They said, just as for Mary. And men, it's so much light. And of course, I will forget that man, and I will speak to you about Christ himself. The time in which he was living, the church that was in an awful condition. The true preaching was not there. And still, what do you read in the Bible? After his custom, he go up to the temple. After his custom. And the Lord bind us to his word and testimony. Of course, if it is an head knowledge, and there is never experimental preaching, that you hear explain the ways of the Lord, how that it goes inside. I have spoken to you some years ago, it may be somebody cannot well remember that, when the Lord comforted that man who had done the funeral of Philpot, Gogol. He was only 40 years old when that happened. He was working on the Sabbath day. He thought nothing about it. But the Lord, he comforted me. And later on, he started to preach in some building. And then, of course, as that goes, when a preacher comes for the first time, there is always people that goes after such a man. Of course. And there was in that same vicinity a man, a converted man. He never go to the church. Never. He could find it in no place. That was ook wel een terrible man, maybe. No, no. No, he could not find food for his soul in any church. Does he stay home on Sunday? With the Bible and with the book. And of course, if you cannot find anything for your soul, then it is better to stay home. But then that man that went there also, because he had heard that rumor about that man, and he thought, you never know, I go to listen once. And when the church goes out, then there was another man in the church. He asked him what he thought about. Better that you could go up under that man. He said, yes. Because I have realized this afternoon, sitting under his preaching, that man that goes inside with you, inside. And of course, such people, they, you cannot place yourself under it. Because they are bringing the living word of God. And therefore, God's people, there is no better place in the world. They love God's tabernacle. And one thing I have desired, and I will seek after that I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to see the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into his temple. If he cannot sit in the church, in the true church, under the true religion, then we shall never have a place in heaven. No. Because heaven, that starts here as well as hell. And now those Greeks, they came to worship the Lord. They were obeying the commandment of the Lord. And of course, that people that you can realize out of that question, that people that was not satisfied with themselves, because they said to, what was the name of that man of his?
That was the name of that man. Philip.
Yes.
They say to Philip, sir, thee moet zien Jezus. I think there's something in it. I think there are people that have seen themselves so much. You think so too? And oh, the Lord is, that is a promise for all God's dear people, that I shall make that they abhor himself. If we have grace in our heart, people, oh, then we hate our life in this world. We think not so much about ourselves. We have not to be honored, no. But unto the Lord, who have to receive all the praise and all the honor and the glory. You read in the Bible that there was a man that bowed his knees for Peter. Another man, he did it for Paul. Another man, he did it for John. And then they all ordered that man and they say, no. No, worship the Lord, not men. We would see Jesus. I think there was some in the heart. Because to have a desire for somebody else, then there must be something of the Spirit in our heart. Because if the true work starts in our heart congregation, then we are never satisfied with ourselves. Oh, I have it not here of course, but we have that wonderful hymn from Max Queen. That young man that died when he was 29 years old. And then he said, once I was a stranger of God and my heart. That is now remastered, so. No, that is now reformed. How that man is talking there. We have many sermons of him. But if you have only that hymn for him, then you have enough to know what a man it was. Because the first line that struck stuff. Oh, you cannot realize it. That was a man with grace in his heart. Father Zomerin, shall you say. Oh, yeah, that is a whole lot, of course, I cannot not help it. But it falls somewhere in, if you read, really. And then you say, oh, that is no life. If he was living, then I would have to shake hands as long as that man. Because, oh, that life that is looking for life. And that life that is won. Whether that they would come from the east or from the west, and from the north or the south, but that life that is wrong, you can tell for yourself. Sure, you would see Jesus, and oh, congregation, there is another one that says, give me Jesus. Here I die. And without him is no life. Without him, there is an eternal destruction. Sir, we would see Jesus. But of course, I go not so deep in this evening. I hope the next week at the Lord's Prayer. About that request itself. But now, I will talk to you further about That request that he brought to Philip, and that request that Philip brought again to that Andrew. But we sing before. Number 72. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face. 72:1-2. It is not strange, congregation, that those Greeks that they came to Philip. Philip was one of Christ's beloved disciples. And now that people, those Greeks, if it was the right desire in their heart, and a truly need in their soul, they were realizing that they were standing outside, that they have not the privilege of that Jewish people. Because you know in the Old Testament, and even before that Christ died, then there was also a wall of partition between the Jews and the heathens and Gentiles. And in the sight and in the opinion of the strangers, then that Jewish people that have greater privileges than that those outstanders have. Because those outstanders, they have time and again in their heart and in their conscience that feeling we are not worthy. We shall not receive an answer. We shall be cut off. You read even in the Word of God about that woman in Tyre and Sidon in Matthew 15. Christ, you know that, he made a special trip to that country for that woman to bring their case to a solution. And then at first when that woman came behind him, then he passed by. He was not even looking to that woman. You would say, what strange, what strange, no. It was ook not strange why that Christ were cut off twice. Because the purpose that was to bring her to the right place. It cost something to come down, congregation. It cost something to come down. Oh, let I tell you. En dat is de truus voor alle procent. We don't know how that we must be converted. And we don't know how to come to the right place. No. That is the reason that David, he said, teach me thy way of truth. And from thy ways I have not departed. We don't know. And now of course, they had that those Greeks, they have high esteem and thought about Philip, one of the disciples of Christ. They talk a lot and happy men, always to be with that man, with that Christ. And now they have a little freedom to talk to Philip. Sir,
yeah, my sure.
But that is also easy to explain that. The word sure, that refers to this, that they thought much about that man. For their imagination, than that Philip that was much higher than that they were. And that was the reason that they say, sir. We will see this. In few words, they explain to that Philip what they desire. And then you read that Philip comes and tells Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus.
Yeah, but why must now
that Philip tell Andrew about it? Why could now that Philip not go immediately to Christ? And to bring over that request. That was a sparing of time, of course. And not a lot of time. Lot of time. But he told Andrew, I think, what? You know what I think? I think that Philip, he was so glad that there were some Greeks that said, sir, he would say yes. Because they hear that not every day. Hey? They did not hear that every day. That happens seldom in the world. Out of a true desire and a real need of the soul, we would see Jesus. This then he said to Andrew, he said, oh, I have meet people, and not Jewish people, but proselytes, Greeks, and they said, sir, we would see you. You are also glad with it? Because if we have grace, then we seek for the welfare of science. And we are looking for the increasing and the coming of God's kingdom. I think if you today, this evening, if we could meet now a man, a person that was convinced by the Holy Spirit, and that say, oh, I am so unhappy. I am without God in the world. I'm missing the Lord. I think if you meet this evening, 12 o'clock of somebody, you will tell them, right? Oh, yeah. And then tomorrow, the first man that you meet on the street, a friend, of course, and that also has feeling for the kingdom, you will say, oh, yesterday, I had some wonderful meeting. Greeks, they asked me to see this.
And of course, that Philip and that Greek and that Andrew, that brought the tiding over to Christ. I think that Philip and Andrew, they had realized immediately that there was something under it. I think so. If they have realized it, it is nothing, then I think they have not walked to Christ with that request. But they have some feeling in their heart. And then in the multitude of subjects is the honor of the king. And what a wonder that even outsiders, that they come, we would see Jesus. I hope the next week to speak further about this request and but the contents of the request to see Jesus. And then, of course, also what Christ had answered. There were some Greeks congregating. I told you this evening that those Greeks could not enter into the temple. They were standing outside it. And now the question that is for you and me, how is it inside with us? Was there ever in our heart an humble and a serious request and need for the grace of God in our life and for the confirming of the promise, they shall see the King in his beauty. Young and old, great and small, we are all travelers to eternity. The world passes away with all the lust thereof. You are happy in the world, children? Happy? Oh, you are dissatisfied with yourself, dissatisfied with the whole world. But the devil promised that is nothing as bitterness. Oh, the devil gave no satisfaction. The devil gave no rest and no peace. No, he is bringing you in trouble, in eternal trouble, when the day of death shall come. Young and old, I hope that the world falls away for you. And not long running in the world and after the things of the world, but I hope from the bottom of my heart that where you go, that you find nothing as death here below. That is what I hope for you. And what I desire for you. And that the Lord may give what he had promised by the prophet Hosea, and I shall make that you shall not find the way that he cut it off and that he blocked it off. And then there is room for him who is the way, the light, and the truth. There were some Greeks. Oh, that in our heart the Lord may give that need to see Christ.
and nothing else than him. Because there is no other name given under heaven whereby that we must be saved. And children of God, that is what the desire is of your heart. That is the desire, Lord. All my desire is before thee, and my groanings are not hid from thee. And the Lord, he hath promised that he never shall forget the cry of the humble. Amen. Lord, bless the few words spoken in this evening. Remember the whole congregation, the parents and the children, the teachers, the school, the elders and deacons, all of us in the week that lay before us. Give us a wisdom and understanding. Give us strength to perform all our labors and duties. In the fear of thy holy name, remember those parents who hope to leave tomorrow to visit the children of the state. That thy eyes were open over them in mercy and compassion, in going and coming back. Remember all of us, also one of our family from the Netherlands, who is this day with us. Bring him safely to his wife and children too, over that great ocean. And remember all of us in thy condescending mercy, for time and for eternity, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 290. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. And what follows, 290.
bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.